Rabbi Schechter on Segovia.
Yitzchak pointed out that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi and Ibn Ezra were traveling from location to location because when they were called upon that these areas were under the control of the Arabs, life was pleasant and reasonable. And when the Christians took over, then it was extremely uncomfortable and they had to move. So I just want to say a few words about Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. Rabbi Yitzchak will be talking tomorrow. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is most known for his Sefer the Kuzari. The Kuzari is a historical novel. Part of the story we know is documented, is true. Apparently the king of the Kuzarim, which was a kingdom in the middle of Russia, had a recurring dream that his kavanas are wonderful. He has religious fervor, but he's worshipping the wrong religion. He was an Ovid Avodah Zarah. So he had this dream a few times, so he figured that he has to investigate. Maybe some other religion is the true religion. So originally he decided he's only going to invite a representative of Islam and of Christianity, because these were the two religions that were followed by many people. And Judaism he wasn't going to look into because Judaism was despised, it was looked down upon. And finally, when the other two representatives said that their religion is all based on the Jewish religion, so he figured he might as well invite a rabbi also. So he invited the chaver, the rabbi, and he was convinced that the Jewish religion is a true religion. As the story goes, he converted, and his cabinet converted, and the whole kingdom converted. Just, I think, 2 years ago, they had a big article in the New York Times that they discovered archaeological discoveries. They discovered artifacts and different things from this government of the Kuzarim, the Russians. The Russian government has been trying to suppress all of this information for many years. They didn't want anybody to know that the government used to be controlled, run by Jews. That the Melech HaKuzarim was Jewish and the whole nation was Jewish. But now we know that it's true. So Rabbi Yehuda Halevi wrote this historical novel about how the whole thing developed. So in the theme of the book is that he asks the chaver, how are you so convinced of your religion? Why do you think your religion is true as opposed to Christian religion and the Muslim religion? So and the Islam. So the thrust of the argument was that all of the Nisim of the Esamakas and the Kriyas Yamsuf and the Maimon HaSinai were witnessed by several million people. There were Shishim Riba Jewish men between the age of 20 and 60. Then there were women, then there were children, then there were older people, then there was Erev Rav Alayim Mitom. There was at least 2 million people witnessing all of these Nisim and Nifloas. And this was the response. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi interprets this as the response that the Jewish people give to the Umas Olam when they say Shuvi Shuvi Hafi Shulam Shuvi Shuvi V'Nechazabach. The Umas Olam call upon the Jews that we should join their religion. So we respond back, Matechazul Bashulam is Kemecholos HaMachanoim. Can you show us, like Mecholos HaMachanoim, Machane Mul Machane? In your religion, you have a big mass of so many people, several million people, witnessing all of the Nisim and Nifloas. The supposed miracles of Osah HaYish were only witnessed by a small group of students. And the miracles of Muhammad were also just witnessed by a small group of people. And this is the basis of our religion. We have a tradition. I knew my both sets of grandparents, and they knew their parents, and they knew their parents and their grandparents. We assume Abiseinu lo shikru lanu. Our forefathers didn't tell us a lie. They were serious people. They weren't jokers. They had a good sense of humor, but they weren't pulling our legs. They weren't fooling us. And they gave us this historical tradition. It's like if somebody today would deny that George Washington was the first president of the United States. How do you know? There's nobody alive today who saw that George Washington was the first president. But the answer is, well, everybody knew. There were so many people in the United States who knew that George Washington was the first president. And it's a strong, strong historical tradition. So the same is true regarding the Jewish religion. The basis of our religion is that we have this strong historical tradition that several million people witness all of the Esamakas and the Nes of Kriyas Yamsuf and Maimon HaSinai. That's what Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is mainly known for the Sefer HaKuzari, which is merely the dialogue between the Chaver and the Melech HaKuzarim. The Chaver is the rabbi, the Melech HaKuzarim is this king who converted. In Halacha, in the yeshivas, the Kuzari is known, he has several points which are relevant to Halacha. So one very famous point that he has, which several other Rishonim share in common with him, is the issue of the international dateline. As you keep on going, let's say if you go from America to Spain, so Shabbos is 6 hours earlier. Go to Eretz Yisrael, Shabbos is 1 hour earlier. The further you go to the east, Shabbos keeps on beginning earlier, earlier, earlier. When you go from New York to California, so Shabbos begins 3 hours later. Go from California to the west, Shabbos begins later, later, later. So there must be some point in between Eretz Yisrael and California, where you have an international dateline. You can't keep on going west and saying Shabbos begins later, and keep on going east and saying Shabbos begins earlier. It's going to be a contradiction. So you have to have some place which is the international dateline. So the Kuzari, same as Rabbeinu Zrachi Halevi in the Sefer Hamor, comments on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that in all of the Rishonim who talk about the topic, all say the same pshat in the Gemara. There may be some other Rishonim who disagree with Halacha, but we don't know. The Rishonim that we have who talk about the topic all say the same thing, that the earth is a globe. The Talmud knew that the earth is a globe, and every globe has two hemispheres, and Yerushalayim is the center of one hemisphere. That hemisphere begins, the eastern beginning of that hemisphere is 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim. Every hemisphere has 180 degrees. And the full circle is 360 degrees. So the international dateline has to be 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim. So that's the famous Psak of the Chazon Ish, that the international dateline cuts through Korea and cuts through Australia. And then the Chazon Ish goes on to further details. Well, what about the southeastern tip of the east, southeastern tip of Asia? If it cuts through Korea, so you mean on one side of the street is going to be Friday, the other side of the street is going to be Shabbos, two different days, or let's say Australia. Two-thirds of Australia are to the east of the dateline. One-third of Australia is to the west of the dateline. So you're going to say on one side of Australia is Friday, the other side of Australia is going to be Shabbos a day later. So the Chazon Ish works out the details. So he thinks we should follow some Rishonim who say, number one, that you cannot have one landmass that has two different days. If it's Shabbos on part of the landmass, on part of the continent, so the whole continent should be the same day of the week. So then the next question is, so which half of the continent should win? Let's say if the dateline cuts through Australia, and two-thirds of Australia are to the east of the dateline, so maybe the smaller part should be Nigrar, should follow the larger part. So the Chazon Ish does not think that that's correct. He thinks that that hemisphere, where Yerushalayim is, where Eretz Yisrael is, that's the more important hemisphere. And if you have any continent, like Australia or anything like that, or Asia, where part of the landmass belongs to that continent, belongs to that hemisphere, so even the east should always be following the west. That's the Psak of the Chazon Ish. So this is all based on the Luang Arichas in the Kuzari, who writes the same as Rabbeinu Zrachi HaLevi. This is the way they interpreted the Gemara. That they said, they read this into the Gemara, that the Gemara says like that. Truth of the matter, when you study the Gemara, Rashi and the Tosfos on the Gemara don't read straight, don't read well at all. The only pshat that reads well in that whole passage in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is this pshat of the Kuzari. So that's one thing that he's famous for. His opinion is that we don't recognize the dateline of the Umas Olam. We have a halachic dateline, which is 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim. Then there's another famous halacha, which the Kuzari is noted for. When the Melech HaKuzarim, much of the book is just an explanation of what Judaism is all about. Like a convert is interested in a potential convert, takes classes to find out what Judaism is all about. So this is the historical novel that Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi wrote. The Melech HaKuzarim is asking the rabbi, what do you do about this? And what's the mitzvah of Shabbos? And what's the mitzvah of Tefillah? And what's the mitzvah of Tzitzis? And the rabbi explains everything. So the Melech asks Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, you people tell me that you keep all the mitzvahs that are written in the Chumash, so how come when you touch a dead mouse or you touch a dead body, how come you don't go to the mikveh? I know that it says in your Bible that whoever is tamei has to go to the mikveh. So Rabbi Yehuda Halevi answers him, the chaver, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi writes that the rabbi answers the king, that Tumah V'Tahara is only relevant when you're dealing with Inyani Kedusha. If someone wants to enter the Beis HaMikdosh, if somebody wants to eat Korbanos, if somebody wants to eat Truma, if somebody wants to eat Maaser Sheni, so these are Inyanim of Kedusha. Truma has Kedusha, Maaser Sheni has Kedusha, enter the Beis HaMikdosh, Korbanos have Kedusha. So then the Halacha is concerned about Tumah. So anyone who's Tumah has to go to the Mikveh, that there shouldn't be a contradiction between Tumah and Kedusha. But he says, today we live in Europe. The Kuzari lived in, Melech HaKuzarim lived in Russia. He says, we're so far away from the Beis HaMikdash, and we have no Tumah, and we have no Maaser Sheni, we have no Korbanos, so the going to the Mikveh is totally irrelevant. So then the king asks the rabbi, but I understand that your wives do go to Mikveh. You just explained to me that going to Mikveh is irrelevant. So then the rabbi answers back, no, that's a different din of mikveh. That's totally unrelated. The din is that a person who's tameh only has to go to mikveh when there's a problem with kedusha, because tumah and kedusha are a contradiction in terms, what we call a tartar disaster. But the married women going to mikveh, that's an unrelated din. It has nothing to do with tumah v'tahara. That's an isa labailam. So this is a famous topic which the poskim discuss. And they all quote from the Kuzari, and they all quote, there's a Taisus in Bava Kamma who points out the same thing, based on a Gemara, based on a Mishnah, that the laws of Nida Labayla, that married women have to go to mikveh, is totally unrelated to the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara. It's a totally, the dinim of Tvila and the mikveh are not always the same. Tvila to remove Tumah, Tvila for married women, is not always 100% the same. So this is another famous point in the Sefer HaKuzari. This theme that the Rabbi Yehuda Halevi develops in his Sefer, that the whole idea of Tumah is that Tumah constitutes a Tarta Desasri with Kedusha, this theme is further developed by later Achreinim. Sachat Shavu Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer, has a tshuva where he explains the Gemara with the Taisvas like this, with Halachas like this, that the Chumash speaks of a woman who is not faithful to her husband. And the Chumash uses the terminology v'nitma'o. Why such a strange verb? Why do you say v'nitma'o? So the Avnei Nezer explains, based on this idea that was developed by the Sefer HaKuzari, that in marriage, we refer to marriage as kiddushin. And the Talmud points out, we say harayat mukudeshesli under the chuppah. So the Talmud points out that this is a lishna derabbanan. This is a rabbinical expression. In the Bible and Tanakh, marriage is never referred to as kiddushin. It's referred to as hariat ishti, hariat arusasi, kinusasi, different verbs. But mukudeshesli is an expression that was introduced by the rabbis. So the Paskin point out, even though the expression is only rabbinic in nature, but the concept is a biblical one, that when a couple is married, marriage introduces an element of kiddusha into their lives. The woman is not faithful to the husband and the din requires that they have to get divorced. That's why the Chumash uses the verb v'nitma'o. V'nitma means, tuma means a tartar disaster with the kedusha. Means when the couple can no longer live together, so the kedusha of the marriage is broken and therefore there's no heter labailo. There are several other points in halacha, in Hilchas Treifas, that people, some of the poskim point out, yeah, passages in the Kuzari, but these are less significant than these three points. These are the three major points that the Sefer HaKuzari is known for in Halacha. In Hashkafe, the famous point is what he brought out, that the basis of our being convinced that our religion is a true religion is Matechzo Bashulam Iske Mecholos HaMachanoim. This, the Rambam, years later, the Rambam quotes, writes this in one of his letters, without quoting in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, but that's where he got it from, this interpretation in the Psukim and Shir HaShirim, that the basis of our being convinced that our religion is a true religion is that all of the miracles of Esamakis and Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf and Maimon HaSinai, everything was witnessed by millions of people. Yesterday Rabbi Yitzchak was talking about the Ksav Yad, the manuscript that he's about to publish, that contains within it not only commentary on the Chumash, but a Sefer HaMitzvos as well. So it's interesting, for many years it was assumed that the Sefer HaChinuch was written by Rabbi Aaron HaLevi of Barcelona. The author of the Sefer HaChinuch writes that he is a Levi, and he's a rabbi, and he's a Levi, and he lives in Barcelona. So people put two and two together, and they got 22. They thought, as if there's only one rabbi who's a Levi who lived in Barcelona. So they thought, oh, that must be Rabbi Aaron HaLevi, the one who was a student of the Ramban, who had many points of disagreement with the Rashba, the one who had all the original non-conventional interpretations in the Gemara, very original thinker, the one who was the fifth generation descendant from Ben Mizrahi HaLevi, who also had very original non-conventional interpretations in Gemara. So in recent years they pointed out that it seems to be totally incorrect, that it doesn't at all seem to be written. It was written by a rabbi who was a Levi who lived in Barcelona, but it doesn't at all seem to be by Rabbi Aaron HaLevi, the famous one. The famous one was such a super genius, he always has original ideas. The Sefer HaChinuch is always very calm, nothing startling, nothing very, very. It's a beautiful Sefer HaMitzvahs. He lists off which are the 613 mitzvahs, and it gives you a thumbnail description of the halachas of the mitzvahs, and then he gives you a little bit, Tamei HaMitzvah, gives you a little bit explanations why the Rabban Shalom gave us these mitzvahs, what moral, ethical, or religious principle is the mitzvah trying to teach us. It's a very nice book. They have it now available with Nekudas, and it's a very nice gift for a bar mitzvah bocher and a bar mitzvah child. A teenager can read, a boy or girl, children in high school can read it and gain a lot. It gives you a whole picture of Kol HaTorah Kula. Gives you a picture of all the 613 mitzvahs. It's a very nice thing, but it doesn't at all seem to have been written by Rabbi Aaron HaLevi, because it's not his style. His style would have had much more original, razzle-dazzle, something unconventional to say.
Can I have everybody's attention, please? While everybody's eating the soup and before we get the main dish, we'll hear from Rabbi Schechter a few words. Okay.
This afternoon when we were on the bus, I mentioned three halacha issues. That the Kuzari is noted for. So I'd like to mention several other issues, non-halakhic issues, Ashkafi issues, that he's noted for. So one famous line that Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi has is, he speaks a lot about Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban also speaks an awful lot about Eretz Yisrael. Ramban in his commentary on Chumash writes that the main place of Shmir is Kol HaMitzvos and is in Eretz Yisrael, even the non-agricultural mitzvahs. So Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi also speaks an awful lot. The Rambam doesn't have so much. Rambam just quotes the Dinim about Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't make Eretz Yisrael that central in the whole picture of Tayyar Mitzvahs. We usually follow Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi and the Rambam, that we assume that Eretz Yisrael plays a much more central role than the way the Rambam presents it. Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi has a famous line in the Kuzari when he speaks about prophecy, the Bua. He says, based on the passage in the Gemara, but he expands on it, all of the Nevi'im only gave prophecy in Eretz Yisrael, Ba or Ba Avura. Either they were in Eretz Yisrael, or they were in Chutz Lorenz. Yecheskel, no, he was in Chutz Lorenz, and he's giving prophecies about Eretz Yisrael. Then he expands about the theme of the significance of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, when he presents this historical novel, the dialogue that was going on between the king of the Kuzarim and the rabbi, the Chaver, so he has the rabbi explain to the Chaver, what does it mean that the Jewish people are the Am HaNivchar, that we are special, we have something special, we are born in Lamakam.
So we usually assume that the Mishnah Pirkei Avos has two statements, Chavi Vodim Shenivra B'Tzelem, Chavi Yisrael Shenivra B'Olam. Okay. So most of the commentaries assume that Chavi Vodim Shenivra B'Tzelem relates to all the Yom HaSarim, even the Nachrim as well. Chavim Yisrael Shenivra B'Olam Akim, that's something unique by the Bnei Yisrael. And Vodim Lamakim means a deeper degree of Tzelem Elokim. And Maharami Prague, in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, assumes that not so. That Tzelem Elokim is only by Bnei Yisrael. How do you read the Mishnah? Problematic. So Rabbi Yehuda Halevi also seems to assume like that. He says he goes with the division that the medieval scientists, philosophers, or thinkers used to divide everything in the world into four categories: Doimim, Tzamea, Chai, Medaber, mineral, vegetable, animal, and human being. These are the four categories. So he has the rabbi carry on the conversation with the melech, HaKuzarim, with the king. So he says, and what if I would tell you that there's a person who could survive for 40 days and 40 nights without eating or drinking? Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. Lech v'lechal v'mayim lo shasisi. He didn't eat, he didn't drink. So the melech HaKuzarim says, well, you're talking about an angel. That's a different thing. He says, no, I'm talking about a human being. A human being who can survive for 40 days and 40 nights. So he said, the rabbi says, this is a different category. There's Daimon Tzamea Chai Medaber and Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael are a different category. And he considers this, what it means, that we are the Banim Lamakim. And then he goes back and he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Arishon B'Tzelem Elokim. Adam Arishon was B'Tzelem Elokim. He seems to assume that it doesn't apply to all the Yom HaSarim. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem Adam Arishon was created B'Tzelem Elokim. And then from all of the children of Adam Arishon, this unique feature which he refers to as the Inyan Ho'elokim, I mean, that's the way the translation that we have. It was originally written in Arabic. We have the Hebrew translation. So in the Hebrew translation, he writes that this Tzelem Elokim aspect that Adam Arishon had, this Inyan Elokim, was only transmitted to one of his sons. And that son had also, he had a lot of children. And he transmitted the Inyan Elokim only to one of his sons. And that's the way it's listed in Divrei Yovel. Adam Sheisen, Ashkenim, Mahalala, Yered, Chanoich, you go till from Adam till Noach, Noach till Avraham Avinu. Each one only had one of his children had the Inyan Ha'elokim, the Tzelem Elokim feature, and the others didn't have it. Until it came to Avram. Avram had more than one child, so only Yitzchak had the Inyan Ha'elokim, and then Yitzchak had Yaakov, and then Yaakov had many children. And that's why we say mitos and shleima. All of his children had the inyan who had the key. And that's what it means that Bnei Yisrael are the bottom lamakim. We all have this feature of Tzelem Elokim. The Kuzari writes in striking lashon that everything in the world is divided into five categories. Doimim Tzamea Chaim Daber, Bnei Yisrael. Rabbi Chaim Eiser, who was the rabbi in Vilna right before the second, he died in the middle of the Second World War, had such respect for Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, whom he remembered from Valozhin Yeshiva, when he learned in Valozhin, so Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was giving shurim at that time. So he used to say that everything in the world is divided up into five categories. Doimim Tzamea Chaim Medaber, Briskerov. Briskerov in that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. It's a different category. Category b'fnei atzmo. The students of the son of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who is known as the Briskerov Rav Elvala, so they also consider him Briska Rabbi Avavala. He's something totally different from everybody else. It's interesting the way the Kuzari presents it, that the rabbi proved this point from the fact that Bnei Yisrael are a different category. So he proves it from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't eating Lechem Lechal Tamayim Losh Asisi, wasn't drinking for 40 days and 40 nights. So we usually assume that's only Moshe Rabbeinu. So he assumes that this is an indication of all of Bnei Yisrael. In principle, all of us can do that stunt if we would try to be able to survive for 40 days and 40 nights. It's not that he assumes that Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher level. But these are some of the non-halachic issues that the Kuzari is famous for, in addition to the several halachic issues that I mentioned earlier this afternoon. Enjoy your meal.
Thank you.